three people are being charged with felonies in Wisconsin as part of an investigation into attempts to overturn the 2020 election in favor of Donald Trump. It's Wednesday, June 5th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, a member of the Trump family was in De Pere yesterday to endorse a congressional candidate in the Republican primary. And a community task force was created to respond to the abrupt closure of Western Wisconsin hospitals and clinics, and now it has ended its work as well. Stay with us.
Wisconsin Today makes staying current on Wisconsin news easy. You can enjoy these 10 minutes of statewide news with context thanks to community support. Join in now with your gift at wpr.org/givewitoday.
The architects of a false elector scheme now face criminal charges in Wisconsin. They're accused of committing forgery in an attempt to overturn the state's 2020 election results in favor of Donald Trump. Wisconsin's attorney general filed the charges yesterday against Kenneth Chesbro, Jim Troupas, and Mike Roman. Democratic AG Josh Call described the investigation as ongoing. He declined to say whether his office will file charges against anyone else.
Our focus in any investigation, in any prosecution, is not on the speed with which something's done. It's on doing high-quality investigations, conducting high-quality prosecutions, and getting things right.
As part of a civil settlement, Chesbro and Troupas have previously admitted to an attempt to overturn Biden's victory in Wisconsin. That involved submitting a slate of false presidential electors. Charges related to false electors have been filed in four other battleground states as well. Donald Trump Jr. returned to Wisconsin last night for a private fundraiser and a rally for the Trump-endorsed candidate in Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District. Joe Schultz has more on the event in De Pere.
Trump Jr. said Tony Weed's business experience is what distinguishes him in the race. Trump has endorsed Weed, the former owner of a gas station chain. Weed is competing in a three-way Republican primary. He faces Andre Jacques and Roger Roth in August. During the rally, Weed and Trump Jr. railed against career politicians. Trump Jr. framed Weed as a political outsider.
We don't need the career bureaucrats that have never signed the front of a paycheck. We want the people who understand exactly what it means to have people, families, their well-being, their livelihoods dependent on their success each and every day.
In a statement, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin said Weed would be a, quote, fully owned Trump family subsidiary. The rally came just days after a jury in New York convicted Trump of 34 felonies. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A community task force responding to the abrupt closure of Western Wisconsin hospitals and clinics ended its work this week. But as Hope Kerwin reports, leaders say it will be years before the local health industry recovers.
The Eau Claire Area Chamber of Commerce formed the group in late January after Hospital Sisters Health System and Purveya Health announced they would be leaving. The two hospitals and network of clinics closed in March and April. Jared Jacobson co-chaired the task force and is president of Northwestern Bank. He believes the group was able to soften the blow from the sudden closures.
I'm not saying that everything got accomplished because it did not, but I think that we did get the community with a lot of business and concerned citizens involved.
Jacobson says the next steps involve a larger policy discussion about how healthcare is funded. He says hospital systems face financial challenges, and action is needed at both the state and federal level. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
People weighed in yesterday on a Canadian energy firm's plans to reroute its oil and gas pipeline around the Bad River Tribe's reservation. The Army Corps of Engineers is reviewing environmental effects of Enbridge's proposal to reroute Line 5. The company wants to run the pipeline 41 miles around the reservation after the tribe sued Enbridge to shut down Line 5 on tribal lands. The Army Corps is reviewing whether to grant a permit for the route. Enbridge spokesperson Jennifer Smith says the company will minimize effects on wetlands and waterways.
We are absolutely committed to restoring the natural environment back to how we found it.
Opponents voiced concerns about the project's effects on treaty rights, wetlands, and waterways. They pointed to past releases on Enbridge pipelines and aquifer breaches during construction of Line 3 in Minnesota. farm business and labor groups say the project will create about 700 jobs and generate a $135 million economic impact. Last year, a tribe in northern Wisconsin blocked some roads that were on their reservation. That step came after a decade-long dispute with the town of Lac des Flambeaux. Now, homeowners there say they're uncertain about what their future in the town will look like.
There's a lot of bad blood and hard feelings out there on both sides.
Coming up, WPR's Danielle Kading has a second installment in her report on the ongoing situation. Stay with us.
If you've never given before, but you look forward to listening to WPR every day, that's a sign it's time to donate. It means that WPR is important to you, and you are important to us. We're listener-supported radio, which means we count on money from people like you to make the programs possible. Make your first ever contribution today at WPR.org. Thank you.
And finally, in January of 2023, the Lac des Flambeaux Band of Lake Superior Chippewa barricaded four roads on its reservation. The barricades came after a decade-long dispute with the town of Lac des Flambeaux over expired easements on roads crossing tribal lands. While the tribe and town reached a temporary deal to lift the blockades, they're still no closer to a permanent solution. Yesterday, here on the show, we heard from tribal officials about the legal fight. Today, Danielle Kading reports on how the ongoing feud has left homeowners in limbo and sowed division among those living on the reservation.
This is East Ross Allen Lake Lane.
That's Dennis Pearson. He's driving a UTV down one of the roads that was blocked by the Lac des Flambeaux tribe last year.
So from that stake to that stop sign is the tribal land.
The right-of-way on the road crossing tribal land covers about a fifth of an acre, and it's been a decade since the easement expired. Just down the road is the driveway to Pearson's home. He and his wife, Rachel, live there year-round. Pearson loves the place, but he says their home's value has dropped by 76% since the road closures last year.
We plan on being here, you know, until our full intent was to pass it on to our kids. I mean, right now we don't have a choice. We're locked in, right? We can't sell it. You know, nobody's going to buy it.
And he's not the only one. Mike Hornbossel says his home's value is listed as nearly $500,000 on the real estate website Zillow, but it's now worth roughly $69,000 after the road closures. Through the barricades, Hornbossel says he thinks the tribe sought to decrease the value of people's homes in a bid to get land back.
I don't think there'll be a resolution because the tribe doesn't want a resolution. They want us gone.
Tribal President John Johnson Sr. says it's not that they want homeowners to leave. He says the tribe wants the town to pay for past mistakes. If homeowners ever decide to move on, Johnson says the tribe would like to negotiate with them to pay the fair market value of their homes.
That's how we want our land back. We're not just going to go in and take it and rob you and deny you access. That's not what we want to do.
The dispute has strained relations between town and tribal officials. Around 3,600 people live on the Lac des Flambeaux Reservation in northern Wisconsin, and there is often a clear gap in wealth between the homes owned by non-tribal members and those elsewhere on the reservation. Federal data shows 20% of people on the reservation live in poverty. Some tribal elders support the tribe's decision to close the roads, including former tribal president Tom Molson Sr. Even so, Molson criticized tribal leadership for communicating with the town through letters rather than sitting down to resolve the dispute. He says he doesn't want to see his non-tribal friends leave or be bought out of their homes.
People got to start to talk, because if we don't talk, then we're not going to get any resolution whatsoever.
The dispute has resulted in multiple lawsuits, and some elected officials have called for mediation. Johnson says his door is always open, but he says local leaders aren't talking to the tribe due to the ongoing litigation. That's likely to change now that the town board has voted to reduce monthly payments to access roads beginning in July. As time passes, the dispute has taken its toll on the community. Pearson says he used to spend a ton of time on the reservation, but now he avoids the grocery store and casino. He says he only passes through on his way to and from work.
There's a lot of bad blood and hard feelings out there on both sides.
Homeowner Mary Poussin says she understands the anger and resentment that tribal members feel after historic federal policies broke up tribal lands and sold them to non-Native residents. She says Congress needs to solve it.
It's up to them to legislate a solution to this that gives people peace of mind that they're going to be able to get to their properties, and the tribe is going to be compensated for what's going on here on this reservation.
Poussin says the federal government should offer money or land to the tribe. Thompson, the tribe's vice chair, says they would consider accepting land to offset the cost of damages from the town's trespass on tribal lands. Tribal officials say they need to start respecting one another to reach a resolution. As the dispute drags on, Johnson says the tribe is standing firm.
We're not going to be bullied. We're trying to protect our lands, and that's all we've ever wanted.
Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And that'll do it for this Wednesday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. And thanks to Danielle Kading for that piece. You can find part one at WPR.org or on yesterday's episode of Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crowe, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. As always, anything you can do to spread the word really helps, and we do appreciate it. So hit subscribe, tell a friend, or leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcast app. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.